Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for, I guess, being who you are. Such a great and mighty God. We thank you for all that you've done for us, for making us the very righteousness of you, God, in Christ Jesus, that we can come to your throne room of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. We thank you for your Holy Spirit here this morning, giving me the words to share and guiding each one of you and letting you hear God's truth the way that he wants you to hear it so that you'll get it. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, because to me it's so important that, how would I put it? God gives me the words that I'm supposed to share, but that's the less important part of the equation. It's what's the Holy Spirit getting to you that you need to hear from God. Okay? And if you get that, it really doesn't matter too much what words I have chosen to speak. Really. So I always pray that he gives me the words, but I also pray for you that you're getting what he wants you to get. In other words, I'm kind of just wasting my time up here. Now, I shouldn't say that because it would be good for me. Me hearing what I need to hear is good. In fact, Pastor Bill and I have talked a few times, and it fits with this because one of the first things when he asked me to share, he gave me a couple topics that I might share on. And within less than 24 hours, I knew which one of the two it was to be. But then the thought came to mind, okay, what I'm about to share on, God has, in my quiet time with him, shown me that I have, no, it's not me, that he has a lot of work to do in me. And so I've been talking to God that way. I go, wow, God, you've got a lot of work to do. Because he does. Now, we don't judge ourselves by anyone else, you know, comparing. But I can tell you, I'll look at other people's lives and go, you want me to share on this? Because I see a lot of other people more, what I see is more qualified than I am to share on this topic. Okay? In fact, I was out to dinner with a couple, and I was sharing that very same thing with them. They're literally one of the two or three people that know that God has been dealing with me in this particular area. You'll know what it is within about a minute or two. And I shared with them, and I said, I see that you have this so much better than I do. And they looked at me and they said, huh, because we look at you and think you have it so much better than us. And really what we decided was, is that each of us are maybe more mature or have it maybe walked a little bit more in a certain aspect or area of this, where we may be stronger this in this part, someone else is stronger in this part. So what we decided is we all have room for growth. In fact, when I told them that God was working me on this, they said, oh, we want that too. And they said, God work in us because we need it as much as you need it. And so I was glad to hear that. And the topic is love. I'm like, now, how many of you ever spent time with God and have him come to you and go, well, there's something we got to work on here. And I'm like, oh, no. That's usually my first response. And when it was love, it was really that. And as he started showing me things, the first thing I had to do was repent. When God shows you that you really haven't been doing this quite right, you know, that's my first response. But my second response, and this is something that I've gotten to fairly quickly now, as I've walked longer and longer with God, and that is, I do the oh no, but usually within about a minute I'm going, all right, this is good. Because this means, if you're showing me this, he's not showing you me this or you something like this to beat you down. He's showing you because he's going to do the work in you and get you to where he wants you to be. So I'm like, all right, God, let's go. So I can't wait to see what God's going to do. And he actually started dealing with me on this on January 1st. It's an easy day to remember. And what amazed me was, is like day after day after day, no matter where I went in the Bible, no matter who talked to me, who sent me a text, whether I was looking for it or not, everything I saw was about love. Day after, I don't know, do any of you journal? Like, write down what God shows you on a day? Well, I do that, and I started looking back, and literally, like, out of the first 60 days, like, 57 of them were on love. And you would think that I was intentionally doing this, but I wasn't. That's just where God had me. And he was showing me all this stuff. So I said, okay, am I really qualified to share on love? If I feel I'm here, and I was actually talking to Pastor Bill, and he gave me an example, which I'm going to share here, that sometimes in sharing something while you're going through it and walking it out is actually a benefit for you because it will solidify it in you. But the first thing I want to share, and those of you who take notes, I would have you write this down, and maybe even if you don't write it down, you're going to get it over a period of time. This is going to be part of a series, and I was talking to Pastor Bill yesterday, and I said, well, it'll probably be at least 7 weeks long, and who knows how much longer than that. But I'll be sharing this same thing at the beginning of every one of them, so you get this, okay? Because God gave me this title. I didn't get it. Pastor Bill didn't give it to me or whatever. He said, here's the topic. But God shared it with me in this way, and that is to take your next step in love. Simply take your next step in love. But then when he gave me that title, I knew instantly what he meant by it. He meant to the level of revelation that I, God, have already given you in love, walk in that. Okay? We each have a level of revelation in any area to where we're at. And he's just saying, what you know to do and to walk in, walk in. And that should be your next step. And then I'll actually use these steps here. Come down here. And he said, what you'll find is you'll take that next step in love, and you'll take the next step in love, and you'll take the next step in love, and you'll keep walking in it, and that'll develop a habit, and you will have learned that fully. I've revealed it to you, and by just continually walking in it, you'll get it. It'll be so much a part of you that you almost do it, you will do it almost without thinking. It's just you now. You've learned it. And then, guess what God promises us? He won't leave us there. He's going to bring some tests. Pastor Bill has been teaching about tests, trials, temptations. Well, he's going to give you some tests. How many of you go, yay, goody? Not me all of the time. Once again, it's usually, oh, and then, okay, good. But he'll give you a test. But see, he gives you that test so that your next step is here. And then you're walking here. And then you'll keep walking in that level of revelation, and then he'll give you a test again, and then you'll go up to here. And you'll keep getting further and further, more revelation, and more walking like Jesus walked. Okay? Because that's the goal. He's our example. How many of you have ever looked at the Word of God and go, and you read it, and you look at how Jesus loved and go, I could never do that. What I will say is I hope by the end of this, I have erased that statement from ever coming out of your lips again. Because if you said that, that's not what you want to be saying. That's not what you want to be saying. And we'll get it more into that in detail. Not based on what I'm saying, but what the Word of God says. I'm not here to tell you what I think. I'm here to tell you what He knows. You know, God really doesn't think things. He knows things. Okay? And so I'm going to share what he knows, okay? So, once again, it's just take your next step in love so that your next step and your next step and your next step in love, and that's pretty easy because sometimes you think, well, how do I do this? Well, just keep walking in what you know, and then walk in what you know, and then be open to him because with anything, if you're truly wanting to grow in God, it really only takes one thing from you. And that is you saying, yes, God, do that. In other words, I want you to move in my life, giving him free will because he won't force it down your throat. In fact, I'll share a little bit more on that because one of my first questions was to God on January 1st when he came to me and started showing me that my love walk was per se lacking. And I'm like, okay, God, why wait till now? And you know what his first answer was to me? It's, well, because you wouldn't let me before. You really don't want to hear that from God either. In other words, I was the one in the way. Okay, I was the one in the way. So my first step was, okay, God, I want this. And that's really the case with anything. Once you say to God, yeah, I want what you got for me, do it. Well, then watch out. Seriously, I will say just watch out and watch and see what he's going to do. It's actually fun. But until that point in time, until you said that yes to him, go ahead and do this, he's not going to force it on you. So that was really my starting point. I had to say, okay, God, this is you, and this is what I want. And what's so interesting in that is he impressed upon me, how would he put this? I've used this verse before, and it's one that most of you know, Philippians 1:6, because what I'm quite sure of when we started this is that God is working on me in this area now of love. But I'm also very confident, and that's the word that the way the word reads in Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I'm pretty much convinced God's going to be working on me in this area the rest of my life. Some it seems like, how would I put it? After peace, God really worked peace into me back in the 1990s. And I thank God for it. And I walk in peace almost all the time. And I hate it when there's even that minute that I don't, and I notice it right away. If I get out of peace, I just know, oh, that's just not good. I don't like living near God. Let's get back to peace. I just don't like it. But literally, I have been walking in that for 30 years. And then last year, joy. And I'm like, oh, now this one's fun. Seriously. When God says, hey, I want to work joy into you, that's a good one. All I can say, that one's fun. And so being able to walk in peace and joy is good. And love, the Bible makes it very clear, what's the greatest thing? Love. So that was part of my question. Why are you doing love now? Well, it's because I was in the way. Okay? But I know he's going to keep working in me. And if you're willing to say, God, I want this too. I want you to work more of your love into me, so that I can walk in love better than I ever had before. If you say that and mean it, and the key is meaning it, because as Pastor Bill has said, they have birds and the birds talk. You can teach a bird to say anything, but it means nothing. But if you say it and mean it, there's a different story, because God's heard it, and that just releases him to do what he wanted to do already. Okay? So back to my next thought was, okay, now, if I really don't know love and am not walking in it to the extent that I should be, then why should I be the one up here teaching this? Literally, I'm going, I can think of some people. Here, let me give you the mic. You teach this. I'll listen to you. Okay? Right in this church. Okay? So this one I'll thank Pastor Bill for. So we're going to go to a passage, because he in his teachings before, and I've heard him share this before, but he shared it with me again during a telephone conversation. And it's Acts 2:17. And it's really how I'm going to be sharing this. So this is really background information to the whole series. Now, I will say there's going to be a gap in between now and when you get the next teaching on love. Just stepping in here to be of help. And so we may go back and touch on a little bit of this when I start the series and keep going, because Pastor Bill still hasn't finished his series on trials, temptations, and tests yet. And he will go back to that. But how many of you have found Acts 2:17? Okay. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. And how many of you are certain that we are in the last days? And even if you think, oh, well, they've been saying that for years, well, one thing we can say is we're closer to the last days now than they were 2,000 years ago. Think about that, okay? I can tell you that it's kind of funny. When I was younger, I would just watch who was saying that, and I go, well, only the old people say that. And now I'm saying it. I'm like, oh, no. Just the way my mind works, okay? But no, I think anyone, no matter what age you are now, if you really see what's going on in the world, you know that we are, if we're not in, and we're fastly approaching the last days, okay? And so it says there, and it says, and here's the key, one of the key words to say, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. I want you to see that, says God. That I will pour out on my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Okay. The first thing to see there is, this is God saying this. So this is not me telling you this is how it is. Okay, that's what's important. God says this, and he says, this is how I'm going to do this. Okay? So it has nothing to do with me. This is just me telling you what God says, and what he says he's going to do. Okay. So the second thing to see is, this has nothing to do with physical age. You know, God is spirit, and what he's talking about in the Bible are spiritual principles. Now, what you'll see is what plays out in the spirit. You'll see manifest in the flesh, but he's talking about something spiritual here. So when he's using the words sons, daughters, young men, and old men, that has nothing to do with physical age. Okay? I've joked in the past, oh, he's actually given me a vision. That must mean I'm still young. It's just a joke. Okay? Once again, the way my mind works. I find humor in things like that. But in this case, and as he's showing this, it has nothing to do with physical age. You say, well, okay, does it have to do with spiritual age? No. Say, for example, I was born again in, let me do the math, 1971, when I was 13 years old, okay? And that would mean now that I am roughly, what, that would be 53 years old in the spirit, okay? My new birth happened 53 years ago. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with that either. Because the Bible talks about it a lot that, you know, you can be born again for 50 years and still be acting like a babe. Okay? And need to be spoken to like you're a babe. I'm so thankful in this church that I don't think we need that too often, which is good. Because the Bible says, when you see these things, then you need to be spoken to that way. It actually lists things. If you start seeing this, well, then you need to be addressed in that way. Okay? I'm thankful that everyone here gets to hear these teachings over and over again. And by over and over again, that's a good thing, because faith comes by hearing. But in so doing, you hear it and then you walk in it, and so that you have matured. And that's really what I'm looking to do here, and that's the key to this passage. It has to do with maturity in the spirit, okay? And if you look at the breakdown, what's being said, and once again, if you've sat under Pastor Bill's teachings long enough, hopefully you've got this. I should ask you a question and see how many of you can shout it out before I give you the answer. You know, give you a mini test, okay? But I won't do that. I won't put you on the spot. But simply, he said many times, prophecy is simply to speak by inspiration, okay? Now think about it. Does speaking by inspiration take any knowledge? Does it take any faith? Does it take any maturity at all? None. That's why your sons and daughters can do it. You can do that from the very beginning. God gives you a word, you say the word. It's that simple. So that's why your sons and daughters will prophesy. It takes no maturity. It just takes hearing God and then saying what God tells you to say. Okay? Then it goes on to say, your young men will see visions. Well, Pastor Bill has taught also many times that what goes on when you're a young man? You're seeking to see what God has for you for your life. You're starting to look, okay, God, what am I to do in this life? And see, God gives you those visions to see into the spiritual realm so that you'll start seeking him more and more for that which he shows you that he's going to have you do with your life. So these visions come before you really have a level of maturity too. You're working to get there, but you're not there. And then finally, you get to the old man or old men dreaming dreams. This is the point where really now God is showing you things at a different level because there is a level of understanding. And what I will say is that level of understanding is when he's showing you things, here's a way that I've found, even in talking to people, but with myself, I always look at myself first. I can tell when some people have matured in areas when God's showing them things and they're thinking about others. How does this help other people? That's when you'll start noticing there's a level of maturity. When it's not all about me. See, the son and daughter, it's about me. Even the young man, it's still about me. What's my part in this? Well, the mature person will start thinking, God, how can I help others with this? And that's what he'll show you in these dreams. The mature person will get understanding. It'll still help them. Once again, I can't wait to see what God's going to show me as I even go through this with you. He's shown me a lot already. I know he'll continue to show me more. But I look at it, this is my opportunity to also now get to share some of what God's showing with you. And so as I do this, how would I put this? I'll say just about 2 or 3 years ago, God had me start doing something more and more. And when I first started doing it, I wasn't real comfortable. I've been having opportunities to share the Word of God since the early 1990s, ballpark, in churches. And typically, when I started out, I would just say, well, this is what the Word says, and this is what the Word means. And I would leave me out of it, okay? What God has started to do in the last, I'll say more so, maybe even 7 years, is he winds up having me share about me, not that it's about me, but to show you that you're not the only one going through the things that you're going through and that God's dealing with you on. So he has had me be quite honest where I have some areas where, I'm not quite there yet. And you're going to hear some of those coming up. And I'll share those. And when you hear those areas, pray for me. Seriously. I first struggled with sharing something like that, but he just said, do it. People need to hear it. I'm like, okay. And then I'll have some areas where, like peace and joy, where I've grown in certain aspects. And I'll share those too. But see, it goes back to this passage, and that's why God had me share it. So as I share with you, there's going to be some areas, some aspects, if you want to put it that way, of love that I'm still pretty much like the sons and daughters. And in those areas, I'm going to rely on God to give me exactly what to say, and I'll say it. That's it. There's some areas that I've gotten some of it. Still may not be walking in it fully yet, but I'm seeing what he has for me to walk in. And in those areas, I'll share what the Word says. In those areas, I know what the Word says. I just may not be walking in it to the fullness that I need to right yet. Pray for me in those areas. And then there are some areas that I've gotten pretty good. Those are I'm a little more comfortable sharing about. Knowing that even in those areas, if you start thinking I've got this, you'll wind up falling flat on your face if you're not relying on God. But I'm saying better than other areas. Maybe that's a way to put it, in love. So those, I'm real comfortable sharing those. But actually in all of them now, because I've just pretty much decided, well, that's the way God's going to use me. Mainly for the people that I'm sharing with the benefit. Because it's not about me. It really isn't. I tell people, if you're up front and you're sharing this about you, then you probably shouldn't be up front sharing. It's really that simple. It's really about you here. So that's pretty much it on Acts. And I got to skip down, which I often do. I wind up going way ahead of where I'm looking at in my notes on my tablet or computer that I have here. So, once again, this is actually a humbling experience for me because of that very fact that I'm going, I know I'm not where I need to be, and that I would look at many and go, well, you should be the one teaching this and not me. But I'm going to rely on him to be who he is, and that he will get to you what you need through me, even though I may be lacking in some areas. Okay? In fact, where he took me to at the end of seeing this, my thought was, if I waited, and not just myself, if any single man alive or woman waited until they had love to the fullness of the revelation and walking in it that we need to before we shared it, you'd never hear it. That's just the way God gave it to me. So I guess you're stuck with me sharing it with you where I'm at. Okay? But that gave me a release. Like, someone has to share this, and so it's going to be me where I'm at. So, back when he first started showing me this, once again, so a lot of this is set up today, and it'll really be good to take off for when I do start, because the setup will be pretty much done. But I like to show people how God got me to this place, because God will deal with you in the same way. Maybe not exactly, but it'll take you through some of the same things. And I like watching how God moves in these quiet times alone with him. And that's a key, and I can't stress this enough. If you want God to work in you in any area, you have to stop, get with him and him alone, and say, okay, I'm here, God. What do you have for me? Because if you just go on living your busy lives, because we're all busy, and one thing just seems to go one after another, you're not giving him the time to do what it is you want him to do. And to me, that's a clue that you really don't want it. Because you're going to prioritize and do and allow for the time if you really, in fact, do want it. So if you do want God in any area of your life, area, whether it be love or some other area, if you really want it, you'll take the time to get alone with God and say, okay, God, what do you have for me? I'm here, I'm listening, and I'm ready for you to reveal to me and enable me to walk out what you reveal to me. Because that's always one of my prayers. Okay, God, you show me that. Now I need the courage, strength, and ability to walk it out. Because if you just show me something and I go walking, I know what's going to happen. I've done it before. Boom, flat on my face. Okay? So if I'm not relying on him and continually relying on him, even after I see something, it's not going to work out well, okay? And the key is you got to keep walking, not keep falling, okay? We're going to walk and walk and walk. Now, if you do fall, he'll pick you back up, and you'll get to go again. But the key is just keep walking in the revelation that you have. So, like I said, the first thing was that the first hindrance of why he hadn't shown me love before, when I know it's the most important thing. The second thing was, he showed me, was that I, personally for me, I needed it now. A few of you are aware that I've had some physical struggles in the last 2 months. Still going through it. God's healed me. I'm believing that 100%. And he's leading me in wisdom as to how to walk through this until that point in time, which I'm walking in the 100% manifestation of his healing in my flesh. And that I will continue to do with his leading and praising him for my healing right now where I'm at. But in that, he showed me, he did this for me personally now. Remember the question was, why now, love? And that is that I needed the peace and the joy that he's already put in me to go through what I'm going through right now. He'll do that for you too. If he has you, how would I put it? Going through a certain aspect of him or trying to get something of him into you? You might want to pay attention because he's probably showing you something because you need it. Because guess what? He already knows what's coming next. Okay? So he started downloading love on me on January 1st. The physical problems started happening on February 20th. I know that exact date. I remember it well. But he had already put all this in me, but he'd already put the peace and joy there and started working in the love. And the peace and joy, I can tell you that as I've gone through this and am going through the physical aspect, I have never felt more joyous, more at peace, been doing better in the spiritual realm than at any point in my life. That's not a boast. That's a boast in God. Doing great. Physically, not so much. But in every other way, I'm doing just great. And that's because God has me there so that I can go through this the way he wants me to. Now, actually, a few of you know, Phil actually left a church service early here back about a month ago. We came to my house to rush me to a emergency care place because I was in bad shape. And we were talking, and I was watching the people that were working on me respond. And Phil and I were talking about it. I said, they're not responding to you like they normally do because you don't look sick. You're not acting like you're dying. I felt like I was dying, but that doesn't mean I had to act like it. And I wasn't. I still had joy in there, and I couldn't get my next breath. Literally, I'm like, I don't know if my next breath is going to be there, but I'm great. Seriously. So people look at you and go, oh, he's fine. And those people actually said that. Then I went to another doctor. He says, no, you're not fine. Didn't really want to listen to him either, and I still really haven't to a certain extent. I listened to what I feel God's shown me he said is correct, and then other things I have just discarded. Okay? Once again, using the wisdom of God. You still go to the doctors because they can show you some things and help you along the right way in certain areas. But you have to still, as Pastor Bill shared many times, rely on God for him to say, yeah, that's for you. This is what you need to do. So I'm just thanking God that he is no respecter of persons, okay? I think I have time. I'm going to share this in closing because we've got about 12 minutes to the closing or 13 minutes. It'll probably take that long. But I'm just being led to share, as I've said before, there are certain things that I like to call spirit trails. In normal language around here, you probably have heard people saying, rabbit trails? Well, I don't go on rabbit trails. I go on spirit trails. They're much better. When the Holy Spirit, you're teaching on this, and the Holy Spirit says, go here. That's a spirit trail. So that's kind of what we're going to do right here. And that is, and I know Pastor Bill has made mention of this, but he's having me share this now to reinforce what Pastor Bill has been sharing with you. And that is, I think what a lot of people do is they read these promises in God's word and they go, that's mine, without looking at the fact that most, and I'll use the word most, of the promises in God's word are conditional. Okay? And people, and I'm by people I'm meaning Christians, are reading them like they're non-conditional so that they can claim every single promise and say, yep, that's where I'm living at right now. It's really not what the Word of God says if you actually read and look at what the Word of God says. Let me give you an example. So we're talking about the fact that God shows no partiality. Well, first of all, it does say that in God's Word, Acts 10:34. I do believe it was Paul that was saying, I perceive that there is no partiality. Okay. Well, that's true. There's no partiality if you meet the requirement. In other words, everyone who meets the condition gets the promise. In that, there's no partiality. But if you don't meet the condition, then there's no partiality there either. You don't get the promise. Okay? So in other words, there is no partiality, but there is a difference as to which camp you're in. Either you meet the condition or you don't meet the condition. Let me give you an example. There's a passage in Psalms. You might think of some others, because there's many that say something like this. Psalms 84:11 tells us that those of us who are his, says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." So, how many of you take that and go, "Yep, he doesn't hold any good thing from me"? Nothing, right? Good promise, right? I'll take that. All of you want that one? But let's look at another place in the Word of God. Let's look at James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Because it talks about something good being withheld. Didn't we just read Psalms? "No good thing is withheld from me." Okay. Well, James 1, 5 through 7 talks about something being withheld. It states, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." So we can look at this and go, well, hey, one place it said he withholds no good thing. But right here it says, if you come to him not in faith and doubting, you're in a different camp. You're not going to get anything that you're asking him for in that area. It says, if you're doubting, you're not in faith, don't expect me, God, to give you that. But if you are in faith, then you're in the other camp, and Psalms applies to you. So I want you to see that. As you're looking at these promises, I think of another passage, Psalms 91. It talks about all these great things. For those of you who read Psalm 91, it's like my favorite Psalms. I love Psalms 91. If you want to see good stuff that God has for you, go read Psalms 91. But there's a qualifier in the very first verse. It says, "For those who live under the shelter of my wings." Are you staying where God wants you to be, in his presence, under his wings? Then you have all of that. If you're not there, that's not yours. I mean, I think it's pretty easy for us to see. One of the most obvious things to see is those who don't believe in God, the Bible makes it very clear, none of these promises apply to them. Pretty easy. It's conditional. You receive him, then we get all this. The unbeliever doesn't have the promise of eternity in heaven with God. It's not theirs. There's a condition. But it is the same thing for us who are saved. Most of what we see in the Bible is conditional. There are a few things that aren't, and the Bible talks about that too. Say, for example, God says, "Hey, you know, I'm going to give you rain over the land. And guess what? Even those that aren't mine are going to get the benefit of that." In other words, it's just his grace. The rain's needed for the crops. Those who believe and need the rain for their crops, they'll get blessed. But some of those who don't, they just get to be along for the ride. So there are certain things, blessings of God, that everyone will enjoy, whether you qualify or not. But in general, these specific promises, of which most of the Bible is, apply to those who have met the qualification. And it's him who qualifies us. Don't think that we're doing something, but he qualifies us. Like I made a statement earlier that I do believe, even in my prayer, I often pray this. I thank God for making me the very righteousness of God. Guess what? I couldn't do that. None of us can. He did it. And that will be the case with all of this. He'll get you to where you need to be if you're just willing to say, "Yes, I want to be where you want me to be." Okay? So, after saying all of that, I'm quite certain the reason that God is having me share about love now and will continue in love throughout the next couple of months when Pastor Bill turns it back over to me, just as I needed joy and peace to get through the time I'm in now, we are all going to need to be able to walk in love the way that God wants us to walk in love for what's coming up. Because if we can't, we're going to struggle. And we're not going to be able to help those who are struggling even more than we are, because they're not there yet. So this love walk and getting this to the point where God wants you to have it. And he's going to start with each one of us right where we're at. So you may hear me say one thing and go, oh, that's right where I needed it to hear. And this is where God's going to take me. And in another, you go, well, I've got that. Well, good. Grab onto those areas that God has more for you and say, take me there. Okay? Walk in what you already have. That's the, remember that title. Walk in the revelation. Take your next step in love. Walk in what you have now, but look for him to give you more revelation in love and to enable you to take the next step up in love. And then walk there for a while till that you till you've learned that level of obedience. I remember Pastor Bill was teaching recently about even Jesus had to learn obedience. Okay? And he learned through obedience. And once you do it and you do it and you do it and you do it, it becomes a habit. You've got that. Then he can take you up to the next level. Not before. Okay? So that's what God is having me share this for. He just impressed upon me, I need it. And I go, well, I'm guessing if I need it, others do too. And I'm thankful to Pastor Bill because, how would I put this? When I'm up here, it's not because I go to him and say, hey, I want to go up and teach some more. Nah, he comes to me and goes, what do you have? And I'd like you to share something. And I'm like, okay. And so I do enjoy it when I get to. And I look forward to what God has both for myself and for you. Because as I said, he's got a lot of work to do in me. I'll leave what he has to do in you to you. I don't need to know. How would I put this? I got enough to handle on my own. Seriously. It's like I'm desiring this for you, but I'll let him be God to you just like he's being God to me. And look forward to what he's going to do in each one of us during this time going forward. So I'd like to close now. Father God, I just thank you for this, your word, for your truth. We thank you that you have begun a good work in each one of us and that you are faithful to complete it. You're going to do it, Lord, because we ask you to do it. Come in and be God in our lives. And we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.